This next clip comes to you from Regionally Speaking with Chris Nolte.
This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. Morton Marcus is a noted Indiana economist, writer, and speaker here, and is with us as well on occasion to talk about his Eye on the Pie columns that are out across the Hoosier State. And he's with us to talk about some of the issues that are important to Hoosiers these days, and most of them have to deal with money. And Morton, thank you for being with us on the program today. Maybe the question I should ask is, your latest column is entitled "Where's the Money Going?" And I know that's about money that Hoosiers are expecting to see coming from the federal government and the COVID relief funds.
It's a vast amount of money. Mm-hmm. Not only are we having $1,400 for each person in the household, but the state itself is getting $3 billion. $3 billion, that's a big number. And then if you add in the cities and towns and the counties, there's another $2 billion. So in total, the state actually is getting close to $9 billion coming in here. And the question is, who's going to decide how it's spent? That's really a very big issue, and we're not hearing much about it. They may be talking about it privately, the members of the government, but they're certainly not holding any public hearings. I'm sure there are some federal government restrictions on how the money can be spent. For instance, cities and towns which have pension funds, which have never been fully funded, that is, there isn't enough money there to pay the obligations they have to people who are retired and are going to be retired in the future. None of this federal funds can be used for the purpose of funding pensions, because it wouldn't be spent fast enough. And I can understand that. That's a reasonable thing. They want the money spent, and they want the money spent as fast as possible. It's the same way with the $1,400 that we're getting per person. The federal government really wants to see you spend it. Well, if you put it in the bank, that means somebody else can spend it, and that's good. And you can then spend it later, but the banks in the meantime can lend it out while you're not using it. This idea that giving money to people who are fairly wealthy. I have a lot of friends who are retired, and they've got good pensions, and they say, I don't need the money. Why don't they give the money to poor people? Well, it's very hard sometimes to determine who's poor or who's really suffering from the COVID situation. I have other friends who are not wealthy, but they're comfortable. They live on Social Security. They live on some savings. They're not suffering because of COVID. So what happens is that they will spend their money that they get, and I will spend the money that I get, and you'll spend the money that you get, and that will help everybody. And the idea is to get the economy moving. And that's really what this money's all about. Mm-hmm. It's not just aid to those who are suffering, but it's to move the economy. It's to get to a situation where people can get back to work. And then I hear others saying, "Well, look, get them back to work." I know people who could go back to work but won't. There are restaurant owners who can't attract the help back to work because they don't pay enough. And I actually asked one of them the other day, well, have you thought of raising the wages for this person? Oh, no, I couldn't do that. It would be too hard on me. Well, what's hard on you? Is it not having enough staff or paying the staff that you have more so that that you can help more people and feed more people? These are tough decisions that a lot of people have to make, and some of it is just ludicrous. you know, one woman was telling me that her son was just lying around home because he's got enough money for being unemployed that he's very comfortable. And she'd like to get him out of the house. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't want to go to work because he's got enough money for being unemployed. His son, by the way, is in his late 20s. What he's doing living with mother is a psychological issue. I can't deal with that. We have this situation where we're depending on people to go out and spend money and get the economy back where it was, because that's the real difficulty that so many people are having. And I think that the money that the state is going to get, the money that the individual places, for example, if we look at the counties in Indiana, and I look here at Lake County. Lake County government is going to get $94 million. Mm-hmm. I'm looking now at Hammond. Let's see what Hammond's going to get. Well, DeMott is going to get $900,000 to the town of DeMott. That can do an awful lot of street paving. That can do an awful lot of rehabilitating buildings. There are so many different ways that money could be spent. The town of not the town, the city of let me get there. I'll get there. I'm embarrassed at how I am. And
how about the
whole Gary metropolitan area?
Yeah.
Is getting $84 million. That's pretty good. Well, that's Gary. That's just Gary.
Yeah.
Hammond is getting $53 million. Michigan City is getting $18 million. Mishawaka over there by South Bend is getting $12 million. I mean, this is just an awful lot of money. East Chicago is getting $33 million. These are real serious sums of money. This is nothing trivial, and you have to wonder how are they going to spend it. And the East Chicago City Council has $33 million more to spend. Is there any public discussion? Where should that money go? The decision is going to be made by the City Council. But what kind of public input is there going to be for that? And now is the time that it ought to be discussed. They may not have the money in their bank account, in the city's account yet, but now is the time it should be discussed. And I'll bet it is not on the agenda.
Well, how about communities like Valparaiso, for example, or Portage, you know, in Porter County?
Well, let me see if I can find Valparaiso. Not every town is listed on this list I have, mm-hmm. so... get over here and see what we've got. Portage is getting nearly $8 million for Portage.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll find out about Valpo in a minute if it's listed. Now, that requires that I really understand the alphabet. You're putting me under real stress today. Another $7 million for Valpo. And it just goes on. Place after place is getting vast sums of money. Some of these places are really tiny that are on this list. Wanata. Now, you probably know where Wanata is. If you go out Highway 30 East, it's over where 421 and 30 meet. Wanata is getting the wonderful sum of $200,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, then you have also... not only dealing with the localities that are getting their share of the federal funds, but then, of course, the General Assembly is still at work trying to deal with the two-year state budget on top of that, I imagine, and that's another question.
The General Assembly always fights over toothpicks. There are serious things to be concerned about in Indiana, and the General Assembly is a mess. I've gotten embarrassed even talking about them.
Mm-hmm.
There are really nice people in the General Assembly, serious people. But when they get together, they act like a bunch of junior high school kids. What they do is absolutely awful and does not necessarily meet the needs of the people of this state. One of the things they fight over is teacher salaries.
Right.
And I can understand that. Teachers are not well paid in Indiana at all. At the same time, what is it that schools need? Do we really need teachers to be paid better? Or do we need better teachers? Or do we just need more teachers? That's another possibility. And I haven't seen any answers to those questions. There are a lot of very good teachers, but there are an awful lot of very, very bad teachers also. And there are teachers who are teaching things they don't really know and understand, and they have to go home and read the book the night before the students get to class to talk about it. These are difficult issues that we're just not facing. And a large part of that comes from the school board itself. You can't just blame the General Assembly. The school board is not necessarily a responsible group of people. I have sat through many school board meetings, which are terrible. The members of the school board are ignorant about what goes on in the schools. I remember sitting through one school board meeting in a suburban community where the big fight was over mats for the wrestling team. Now, is that really the heart of education in that town? Is what kind of mats are they going to get for the wrestling team? These are the kinds of issues. And a lot of what they do is so automatic. You know, they vote every single time on the pay for the teachers. We approve the paychecks that are going out this week. Now, the paychecks that are going out this week are the same ones that went out 2 weeks ago, but we have to take a vote on it. These are procedural matters that they get tied up with, and that may be state regulation, which is again, stultifying. It just makes it so difficult for people to be on the school board. We used to have a situation where we wanted the most the most qualified people on the school board. And we don't get that any longer. We get people who are perhaps intensely interested in good education, but have no idea what it is. There are a lot of people who, if I were on the school board, it'd be a great mistake, because I don't know what should be going on in a fourth grade class. And I don't know what my 12-year-old grandson should be learning at this point. I don't belong on the school board. And so many people will get on the school board because they want good education for our children. And what happens is they then vote for a new gymnasium. Because a new gymnasium, well, that would be nice. I know some high schools that are building new athletic facilities so they can attract students from other districts to come and play basketball or play football or tennis for that high school instead of the next high school over. There is actual competition among high schools for athletes, and the money goes into that. And they say, well, team sports build character. Yes, team sports build character, but what are we doing to build the knowledge of our students? And you can have teams that are not athletic that can build character also. There's a vulgarity to what goes on with education that I find very distressful. I don't mean to be in such a nasty mood today, but you've been asking me questions about money, and money can make people angry.
Well, that's certainly true, and it's certainly the truth. It's also not only that; it's also the fodder for some future Eye on the Pie columns too. And we'll be back with you to check on some of those too. And Morton, as always, we thank you for spending time with us today to give us your views and some of the thoughts that you've already put out there. That's available in print around the Hoosier State, but you've shared with us here and spared a little time to go over some of these issues that have given you quite a bit of concern. And we hope to have you back again soon to talk about them and the new ones coming up as well, too.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
We'll talk with you again soon, Morton. Marcus is a retired IU economist, but he's still out there in circulation as a writer and a speaker here in the Hoosier State. And you're listening to Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio.
You can listen to Regionally Speaking Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to noon on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM and anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast.